The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
In studio from the Red Cross, we have John Mitchell talking about some of the different things that happen within the Red Cross. So what are some of those things that folks may not be familiar with?
Thank you, Scott. You know, a lot of people hear about us responding to disasters and what they may not know on a local level that's happening on a very reoccurring basis with home fires. So our volunteers are trained and vetted to show up to someone's home, and if they don't have a way to get back in their home that night, then they will get some financial assistance to get back on their feet and get in a hotel room, or if they stay with family members, they can use that money however they need. It's just more or less to get them moving towards sustainability.
I know this time of year, we always see an increase in home fires because people trying to heat their homes with, you know, gas heaters, propane heaters, space heaters plugged into the wall and so forth.
Yeah, you can definitely see it on a trend line. And, you know, that's just part of what we do. We know to be ready to respond. One of the things we'll try to do during the other times of the year is do home fire campaigns. So we know this is a threat that doesn't go away. So one of the biggest things you can do is have a smoke alarm. And so we will install smoke alarms for free. And we do that on a regular basis. We actually have three scheduled what we call Sound the Alarm, Save a Life events coming up. One will be in Allgood. The 26th or the 29th, I have to look at my calendar, whatever Saturday that is, in April, we will be at the First Baptist Church doing it in that community near Patterson Park. And it's a great program. We look, you know, we welcome anybody that wants to come out and feel what it's like trying to be proactive and preventing home fires to come out and help us go door to door and install smoke alarms when they're needed. And at the end of the day, we also do a Homes Made Safer presentation. So we talk about a plan and make sure everybody's as prepared as they can be.
So when somebody has a fire at their house, kind of walk us through what happens. When does Red Cross get the phone call, and how do you go about letting the volunteers know, hey, we need your help at such and such address?
Yeah, I'll maybe talk about it in the roles that the Red Cross volunteers play. One of the volunteers will play a role called, not dispatch, but a duty officer. So a duty officer is on call. They're not necessarily going to leave their home, but they will get a call from either the 1-800 Red Cross number or from the local fire department. And they say, you know, there's a fire at XYZ Street, and we need you all to support our efforts. Now, when we come to the fire, we're not going to be assisting the fire department with the fire per se. We're going to totally focus on the client or the homeowner or the people that are that were in the home. And we may basically, the first thing we're going to do is maybe, you know, wrap them around with a Red Cross blanket and provide some hope and start talking to them as a human being that has just went through something that they didn't expect, and put some humanity back in the situation. That person is called a disaster action team member. So once the duty officer verifies that there is a fire at that location, then he calls the two volunteers that are listed as DAT members or disaster action team members. They go in tandem and assigns them to that call. Keep in mind, that could be 8 o'clock at night. It could be 2 a.m. at night. So I like to let people know, you know, the real, you know, the volunteers that we have are special. And when they commit to doing this and they say, yeah, I'll be on call, then they don't necessarily have to take the call, but they're set up to a schedule saying, I most likely can take that call. If they can, they respond, they show up to the home, and as they start talking to the people that are at that home and they identify that their home is major destroyed or uninhabitable, that's when they work through a process of financial assistance and can put money into their bank account or a debit card right that night so they can walk away and have some dignity the rest of the night.
And out of all the fires that you see each month, let's say you have 10 fires and you respond to all 10, how many of those 10 usually result in the resident or residents getting a place to stay, such as a hotel, thanks to the Red Cross?
Yeah, I would say, you know, this time of the year, it can be between, you know, 50 and 80%, you know, this time of the year. At different times, we do have to work with the fire department and let them know we still want to come to the fire if they don't think it's going to be terrible, because if somebody's not displaced from that home, we still want to assist them with some mental health and, you know, spirit. We have mental health and spiritual health counselors that love to meet people where they are and just guide them through the process. So there is the financial assistance when it's destroyed, but there is the mental health component that, you know, our volunteers are trained to provide, even if they are not destroyed, the house is not destroyed.
And I'm sure mentally speaking, people aren't ready for something like that. I mean, that's just a lot to cope with.
Yeah, I can draw from a personal experience. It was maybe 3 years ago, my sister had a house fire on New Year's Eve. And I can remember showing up to support her and just, you know, nobody can anticipate that. You don't know the timing. You don't know. It's never, you know, planned. And it just kind of throws you off your loop and you just, you know, you're stunned. And that's where you need some human interaction to kind of help ground you.
Again, John Mitchell with us from the Red Cross. If anybody listening would like to be a part of the Red Cross to volunteer to help out with things like this, what do they need to do, and do you have room for that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd mentioned just a couple of the volunteer roles, and that's, trust me, that's just a small portion of the volunteer opportunities we have. As a matter of fact, 90% of what we do at the Red Cross is through volunteers. That being said, if you would like to do it, you can always call 1-800-RED-CROSS or redcross.org. Once you go through that system, we are very well attached to our national responders, our national employers that will bring that information in front of us. So right here in the Heart of Tennessee chapter in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, if you call that 1-800-RED-CROSS, they will notify us and we will give you a call. I don't mind to give out my cell number. If somebody wants to look into it, they can call me at 615-651-3405. Nikki Festervan is our volunteer coordinator, and she would love to sit down and walk them through the steps on becoming a Red Cross volunteer.
Another program that the Red Cross does is involving the military, and it involves if, let's say, for example, a loved one like a father, a mother or something has to be hospitalized and the outcome, it looks like it's not going to be a good outcome. You work through the Red Cross in order to bring that military family member back home to see that mom, that dad or brother who has been hospitalized. How does that work?
Yeah, so we are the communication link. We are what the military will use as the communication connection link to get families that are experiencing a disaster similar to what you just said, and it's usually a death in the family, to get that soldier home, whether they're here locally or they're abroad. So we have a system. Once people call again, they can start with 1-800-RED-CROSS. We try to educate the families as people are going through the MEP centers and signing up to be in the service, that they have all the information where they can call us directly. But again, once somebody contacts the Red Cross, we have a caseworker that gets assigned to this case, and they follow it through, and they stay in contact with the service that they're employed in, whether it's the Army, the Navy, what have you, and they work towards getting them home. Keep in mind, you know, we don't make that call. We just provide the assistance. But once we open a case, that also gives us an ability to work with that family on other needs. So if in the conversation we see that they're needing some financial support, our counselors that are trained to do this casework are very apt on pointing them towards other finances, sometimes within the Red Cross, but a lot of times right within what they have in the military. But our main goal is, if the military branch is able to do so, is to assist in getting that soldier home to be with their family in a great time of need.
And I've seen that program work to where that military member gets home within like a 24-hour window. It's amazing sometimes.
It is. And that's where, you know, we pride ourselves on being an organization that is trusted, and so we take that very serious with our relationship with the military and the service armed forces, that they trust us to be a trustworthy communicator to, you know, help this process go through in a fast manner.
Again, John Mitchell from the Red Cross with us this morning. We only have about a minute or so left. So in closing, are there any events coming up that we should know about?
Yes, thank you. March 13th, it'll be here before you know it, but we will have our Heroes Luncheon. Every year we honor some local hero that has made great contributions to the community. One of those was your father, Bart Walker. This year, we will be honoring Dr. Gloria Bonner, the former education dean at MTSU's College of Education, and Ray Wiley as our spotlight, our community, our volunteer spotlight partner in a second honor. Those two probably played the biggest role in the MTSU's blood battle between WKU and MTSU for just collecting thousands of units of blood over the years.
Definitely. Again, John Mitchell with us this morning from the local chapter of the Red Cross. John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You have a great day, Scott.
You too.
When is the right time to move to Adams Place?
I have enjoyed Adams Place much better than living in my house. After my wife passed away, what you're doing is you're getting people that you can interact with and have fun. Consider coming to Adams Place.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, across from Walmart.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.